Are you so burdened with life demands that you feel as if you could crumble without any extra help being given to you? There's much suffering, as we realize, going on into the world, and especially amongst us. And as I said, as we come up to the various age, and not only age, but also we find it with also the young ones. We find the pressures coming from whether in finances, or whether it is at the home, whether it is at the church, wherever, we find a lot of pressure to, going on. But my question is, are we a people of hope? Or are we just seconds away from having our spiritual righteous pilot light extinguished? Linda, age 31, was lonely, and she was given to depression. Life became too much for her, and she resorted to take a dose, or I should say overdose, of pills. She was found by an inquisitive newspaper boy sometime later, dead. Jerry, not this Jerry here, age 43, married with three children, and he was concerned that his children would be influenced by an increasingly worldly negative behaviors. He became very discouraged as a result, and he was found by his younger son laying in a pool of blood, dying, of course, after he slashed his wrist lengthwise. And that was in an attempted suicide. Malcolm, age 50, was childless, a reform alcoholic, and he was involved in the lives of alcoholics, assisting them in becoming reformed. He was later diagnosed with throat cancer. He had much treatment so as to arrest this vicious malady. But later, he resigned, telling the AA, that's Alcoholic Anonymous members, they would not see him any longer. He indicated he was going to die. One member looked at him squarely in the eyes as he rose to his feet, and he remarked, "You can tell the people you have cancer, but you cannot give up, Molly." That member continued, "You can still encourage us. And so do not return to the bottle. You can do so much for yourself and others. Come on, Molly." Malcolm paused. He soon heeded the old man's reprimand. He returned, encouraging the alcoholics. Guess what? His cancer receded after a while. The three somewhat lost hope, and they thought life was too much, and so gave up. Linda, she snuffed out her life, having no family, no friends. She wrote in her diary that she had nothing for which to live. Jerry is alive, but he might be driven to suicide at any moment. Malcolm was different. He lost hope, but soon regained it. He had a reason for living, a reason to carry on, yes, serving others, being involved in work. And as he listened to that wise, cautioning and reassuring words of the old man in his group, he proceeded to go back to AA, helping those in whom he was working with. The question is, will you let your spiritual pilot light, your righteous pilot light, go out? Or will you allow it to also flicker? Sometimes we tend to give up hope. We believe the hill is too steep and rocky, feeling that the Christian way should be very easy for us. God, however, wants us to become people of indomitable spirits who will rebound, as I should say, when the chips caught the dumb, and be willing to advance. You know, Job, back in Job chapter 19, we find Job lost his family and physical possessions. I'm going to Job chapter 19 later, but let me deal with this part. And he became discouraged as his friends left him. He was like Linda at this stage without friends. And Job cried to his court friends for commiseration, but to no avail. And to compound the issue, you know, even the young children despise Job. And we pick it up in Job chapter 19, verse 19. I'm using the New American Standard Version. Even young children despise Moas, M-A-A-C. That means completely reject me. He said, rise up and they speak against me. All my associates abhor me, and those I love have turned against me. You see, he was under a tremendous amount of stress as he confronted many difficulties in his life. Yet, he remained positive. Yes, he was a person of hope through the trying circumstances, will we? But Job, unlike Linda, demonstrated hope in his life. His spiritual fortitude was tested. So will ours be tested. But he came out victorious, and we too will come out victorious as we focus on Jesus Christ and God. Job came to one-on-one relationship with God. And so he repented. He abhorred his ways, those which didn't please the Eternal. And he came to the realization that he did not know God as well as he had thought. Do we? And we will be tried in a similar fashion to some extent with Job. Right? And will we stand the test? We can stand the test by focusing on Jesus Christ and God. But as we move to Job chapter 42, in verse 1 through 5, still in the New American Standard Version, then Job answered the Eternal and said, I know, being, B-I-Y-N, it's Hebrew. Consider, understand, regard, look well to, that you can do all things, and that's what we have to come, have that hope to, and that no purpose of yours, God, can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have declared that which I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and do you instruct me? I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, God, my eyes see you. Will our spiritual eyes as well see God? Or will we fold up? Understanding that there's no purpose of God which can be thwarted. Remember that he has begun a good work in us, and he will complete it at the end, as Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, a great promise that we all can hold on to. And not only that, but know that God has also given us some exceeding great and precious promises. What superlatives. And what we again can hold on is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. But he was greatly discouraged at one time. But he, like Malcolm, he bounced back. Yes, for he had a job to do. And we have a job to do as well. Fellow begotten children of God's family, have courage and press on. Yes, we will have the difficulties coming at us. We have people even neglecting us. Look to God. Focus on God. God did not give up on Job, and Job, in turn, reposed confidence and trust in the eternal God. That's what we have to do. There was a day, too, when the prophet Elijah, not only Job, but the prophet Elijah, also felt despondent. His spiritual pilot light was beginning to flicker. He wanted to die just as Jerry, who had attempted suicide. And he, Elijah, had just experienced a great victory over Baal's prophets. So why should he become daunted considering that great victory? But he now discovered that his life was being endangered by no other than the king's wife, the noble Jezebel. I don't see anything noble about her. And incurring fright and fear, what he did, he ran into the wilderness so that he can escape her fury. But you know what? The purpose of God cannot be thwarted. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19, I'm going to be using the New American Standard Version again. Verse 4, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. It said, but he himself went a day's journey. Where did he go? Into the wilderness. And he came and sat down under that juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might live. You believe so? And said, it is enough. Oh, look, life challenges are too much for me. No. He said, oh, eternal, take my life. That's why he was asking for death. He said, for I am not better than my fathers. So here we discovered Elijah praying that he might die, not live. Declaring that is enough. And it's similar to Jerry's thinking. It also sounds very much like us at times when we are confronted with grave problems. Listen, now, eternal, take my life. Yes, hopelessness became part of Elijah's life. And we may think that Elijah was overreacting, but hopeless feelings are real. He nevertheless wisely went to the right source for assistance. And he cried out to whom? To the eternal God. The eternal knew that Elijah needed restoration. Restoration, so he provided for Job's needs. And he would also provide for our needs, as Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that he will obviously supply all our needs according Jesus Christ's riches and glory as well. And so in verse 5 through 7, same Kings, 1 Kings chapter 19, still in the New American Standard Version here, and he laid down and slept under that juniper tree. Behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise. Yes, Elijah, rise, eat. the eternal God was looking out for him, as he would also be looking out for us. But you know why? Because he cares. 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. He cares. And not only that, he cares, as we in 1 Peter 5:7, but then when you look into Deuteronomy as well, Deuteronomy 11:12, it said that the eternal cares. Then he looked, and behold, to show that he cares, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. Well, he would obviously need some water. And if you were over there taking that trip with us over in Jerusalem, you know how hot it is. And if you don't try to drink water and keep drinking water, you can become extremely dehydrated. And so he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the eternal came again, then a second time, and he touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. Our journey may seem great for us, but you know, it wouldn't be very hard because the eternal is with us. He cares for us. Arise, eat. And God not only provides for Elijah's needs, but also for ours as well. Because look, he's no respecter of persons, as Romans 2:11. And if he so looked after Elijah, he would also look after us. And in verses 9-13, what we realize here that God revealed himself now to Elijah by renewing his sense of purpose by giving him what? Hope. Hope. And by reminding him that he was not alone, as verse 19 would indicate. Sorry, verse 18 would indicate. Linda thought she was. She gave up her life, allowing her pilot light to be extinguished. But you know what? We will be giving up our eternal life. We can't afford that. Jerry thought he was hopeless. He didn't see a way out. Malcolm found something viable to do in life, and so did not remain in frustration and hopelessness. Malcolm viewed life differently. Are we looking to God? Why? Romans 15:13. If you turn there. Romans 15:13. What does that show? It shows that the source of our hope is the eternal God. Why? Because he is, as it says there, the God of hope. Is our spiritual pilot light going out? And we need to believe in him. And I like that song that Mr. Daniel had just sung. Confidently trusting in him when life's burden seemed too much to bear. Are we a people of hope? Are we going to allow that hope to vanquish the despair that should come up in our lives? Are we allowing our spiritual pilot light to be extinguished? Ask the eternal God to help us to dispel darkness and replace it with new hope so that we can rise above despair, the disillusion, the hatred, the jealousy, and the other problems that we may find in our lives. No one is hopeless whose hope is in God. Keep the godly hope. Focus on the eternal God and righteousness. Our righteous pilot light would not go out, but it would remain lit. Jeremiah, he also went through some challenging times which appeared hopeless. In Jeremiah 17. Yes, he did not remain though in his despondency and hopelessness. And he reflected on the eternal so much that he penned in chapter 17, verse 17. What did he pen? You alone are my hope. Is God our hope? But know when? In the day of disaster. When we find ourselves in trouble, we can look to God in hope. Earlier, he stoutly, that is in verse 7, declare this. But blessed are those who trust in the eternal and have made the eternal their hope and confidence. Do we? Here is the rich kind of the spiritual energy that we can rely on and utilize in ensuring that our spiritual pilot light never extinguishes. As we realize that there is what? A blessing. What he said, blessed are those who trust in the eternal and have made him their hope and confidence. Are we? And will we? Will we be a people of hope? As we look toward the city that God has been placing there for us, his kingdom, the purpose of God cannot and will not be thwarted. God allows certain downturns, however, to bring us to our senses and cause us to rely on him as he increases our faith. Remember, we may even suffer, as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, we may even suffer, yes, doing godly things. And sometimes we may be doing some godly things and say, well, why am I in this? Why am I getting this? Why is John Jones up at me? I'm still living the way of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 is the answer. But will we tenaciously hold on to God's way? Or will we give it up? Do we still remind ourselves that those who will live godly, that allowing the righteous pilot light to keep glowing, shall suffer persecution? Yes, using hope to vanquish despair. It is a promise, you know. It is a promise. It's not just the words that I've just said. It is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. That's the proof. But will we also realize that there is, though, a silver lining behind the dark clouds of doubt and pain and despair, which we experience occasionally? But know this, that in the future, as Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, they should be wiped away. All the sorrows, all the tears, they will be wiped away. Our jobs may be in jeopardy as you move on to the feast. Some of us may have some lucrative brain one, and then when we return, we may find that we'll be made redundant. The enemy is out. Satan, watch out. We may find that we may come down in sickness. And sickness may become overwhelming. The one in darkness, Satan, is out at us. But are we fearful? No, don't be fearful. You know, that is a characteristic, however, of those who will be in the lake of fire, of those who will not be around. They will face the second death, as Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Are you fearful? Will you, or better, are you about to lose your confidence Your hope in the eternal? Do you believe the eternal God can be your refuge? Not only your refuge, but your strength as well. But your refuge, even though problems surround you. Moreover, hold on to the cast iron promise. He cannot lie. God does not lie. Titus 1, verse 2. And not only that, we soon will come to that one, but in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, it's impossible for him to lie. That's why we can put our trust, that's why we can put our hope in him. When life is peaceful, we can be very self-sufficient. We all know that. But when the going gets tough, we tend to get swept off our feet by the enemy because we have refused God's help and so have nothing to hold on to. We become easily overwhelmed. But this is the time that our pilot light tends to become extinguished. Let's draw closer, Lord, to God, who will and can fuel his spirit to rekindle that fire in our bosom. And so, all of the despair will be removed, will vanquish. However, people who cling to the eternal can weather the fiercest storms of adversity. They are often heard to remark, "I don't know what I would do without the eternal." They know that the Heavenly Father is always with them. He's always with them to do the SGP. What do I mean by the SGP? To strengthen, to guard, and to protect. Yes. Hence, the pilot light will not be extinguished. Those of you in Bahamas know, especially those in the church. He was there, he was guarding you, he was protecting you, and he's going to strengthen you. Hold on. And those of you who have put your trust in the eternal, know you have someone that you can rely on in every circumstance of your life. We all can confidently declare, as Psalm chapter 91, verse 2, "He is my refuge and fortress. He is my God, and in him I trust." Are we and will we? In so much, we need to make these words that will follow germane to our lives. He cannot fail. No, God cannot fail. Not only that, he's faithful God. And he will guard us. And he will guard us with what? Mighty, almighty, not just mighty, but almighty power. And then fear not. Fear no ill, though the troubles will rise. Why? His help is sure. His help is sure, and is sure from hour to hour. Your life may be dark. There might be some confusion in your life today. But make no mistake, there's a powerful work coming and occurring. And Jesus Christ wants us to hear him saying, "Look, Eve turned to the wrong tree. And what happened? Death resulted." He said, "But I hung on a tree." Yes, but that tree, what happened? It brought back life. "I am life," says Jesus Christ. "I am the fulfillment of your every longing. I am the tree of life." That's what he's telling us. Look to me. Are we? Or will we? The tree of righteousness, it comes as a result to our obedience to God. How much are we obeying God? And remember that he gives his spirit to those who obey him, as Acts chapter 5, verse 32. Not only that, when we look at Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, what it says, the Eternal called us, and he called us in righteousness. So know that God has not promised to keep us from life's storms and battles, but he needs, and he knows he will keep us through, to move through them, not to let us remain in them. I like this one, you know. I can turn there. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 through 5. But I'm going to be zeroing in on this section in verse 2. It said, when you pass through the waters, what he says? I will be with you. When you go through the rivers, what should happen? Those raging waters will not overflow you. Even when you're coming through the valley of death, I know he said through the valley of the death, he said you're not going to remain in it, but you move through it. He will be with us. Fear not, as he said, for I am with you. Don't allow your spiritual pilot light to go out. Have that hope in God, that trust in him, that confidence in him. God is the one who alone keeps hope, and he keeps hope flowing. Yes, when its springs seem to dry up in our human breast. The secret of coping and carrying on like Malcolm, Elijah, Job, Jeremiah is based on hoping in God. Hope vanquishes despair. And in Jeremiah's case, the peace that God had given him, he testified that it was the hope that allowed him to continue on in the midst of unspeakable pain that he would have suffered. And speaking about suffering, let us focus on two men. Acts chapter 16. This is incredible as we go through it. These are two men who live godly, but you know what happened? They suffered. So when we talk about suffering, and we think that God is not there, we think that we alone are going through, don't worry. Look at these two men. Did they lose hope in the process? Was their pilot light ever extinguished? Think about these two men, what they endured. And we're just getting a glimpse here as they went through their despondency and their despairing moments. Incredible. Did they lose hope, or were they a people of hope? Despite the trying times and the grave punishment, any one of their troubles was enough to ruin the sunniest day of these men's life. But did they give up? Did they get upset? Did they, like Elijah, run away wishing that their life would have been destroyed? Or did their righteous pilot light continue to glow in their circumstances? It glowed brightly. Were they a people of hope? Imagine the hatred and the threats dealing with that, those greedy profiteers there, around in verse 16 and verse 17. This was a demonic young lady, and they were getting money off her. Not these two men that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the profiteers there those who say that they can do very well in exorcism. There were those fake. I call them the fakers. Think about the pain of confronting the angry mob back in verse 22. And the furious judges who had no mercy on them. Remember that they would receive a whipping. They would rip off their clothes and they just had that whipping. Did they turn away? Mm-mm. But not only that, being placed in solitary confinement. As you would say, the maximum security. They're in jail, verse 23. To confound matters, they have their feet locked in stocks. As you know, when you see the those going up to the court, you see them having chains around their feet. Did all these lead Paul and Silas, those are the two men, to discouragement and hopelessness? How comfortable would it have been for us? Could we have compared to what they had suffered? Would our minds still have been stayed on God and his work, which he has given us? Would we have lost hope, thus allowing our righteous pilot light to be extinguished? Note verse 25, what was happening? As you look there and read it. And it wasn't their time. It was midnight when they should be sleeping. You know. And we know midnight, you only get your rest. But they were resting. They were praising and they were singing hymns unto God. Yes, there was great joy. That was happening in there. There was joy during those suffering period. That's the second abundant fruit of God's Spirit, by the way. It wasn't a natural process. They were relying on God. They allowed his Spirit to flow through them. Amazingly, as you look at verse 27, it said, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, remember what had happened. If you go back there to verse 26, phenomenal thing happened. There was an earthquake. Seeing the prison doors open, he drew his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But they didn't. Verse 28, and Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, we are all here. With that prison door open, you can imagine the normal human being would have done. Through the door. He's making fun. This is my escape route. No, they remain. But then the keeper called for the light, and there he went, snooking around. Came trembling, feeling that these men had gone, and he fell down, though, before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The purpose of God cannot be thwarted. And they said, believe, commit yourself unto the eternal Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. But not only that, you and your house. It goes on in verse 32, and they spoke unto him the word of the eternal, and to all that were in his house. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straight away, immediately. And when he had brought them into his house, what happened? He set meat before them. But not only that, note, and rejoiced, believing in God. Hey, only he alone? With all his house. Can you see when we have confidence and trust and hope in God, what can happen? So they're held to the fact that God was their refuge, their very present help in their troublous times. They also knew that he was before them, as he will be before us. And they had that hope of God's kingdom. And as we go through the days to come, we will know that is the solution for the problems and the difficulties that we see in this age and even in our lives. And they were also filled with God's Spirit. That gift, that unspeakable gift, as I say, an indescribable and an awesome gift of God's Spirit, his power. They use the present time, fellow begotten children of God's family, as patrons of hope. Hope for the very prisoners. And thus leading to conversion of some in their company. They were motivated by a desire to obey God, and no matter what, and this is all we must as we go through to God's feast. And they remain in the God zone. Will we remain in the God zone? Not only as we move on to the feast, but also in our lives. And they witness God's glory as they spread the gospel. As we spread the gospel too, we're going to witness God's glory. They were looking forward to life anew in a new land, just as we do. The prison walls did not confine them. Why? Because they were a people of hope. They, like Malcolm, moved on, and they were delivered. And they went on to doing godly service. We, as we move on, even when we get into the millennium and into God's kingdom, we will be doing godly service. Are we a people of hope? Like them, we can rise above then our mood swings, prompted at times by our circumstances. And let us be strong in the Lord and in his power, the Holy Spirit. We, like Paul and Silas, can overcome what I call the gloom index. Keep hope alive by vanquishing despair. Let God's presence with us cause us to radiate gladness in our lives. And let us be always cognizant that God and his Son can brighten our darkest days. We can be a people of hope. Remember, God often sends us joy, and he does so sometimes through pain, as experienced by Paul and Silas. They, although incarcerated, although being entreated, they found time to praise the Eternal, will we? And not be given to despair or even to vanquish. Through bitter loss, God allows us to experience the divine gain. And yet, through it all, the dark days, all the bright days, our Father will lead us aright. We may ask, what is hope? Well, hope may be defined or termed the confident expectation of the things promised. What did God promise us? Divine nature. Exceeding and great and precious promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. But note, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, I'm not going to quote it, but you look at it. We are placing our hope in the one who will never, ever lie. You remember, I said it's impossible for him to lie. So let us lay hold on hope, the hope that is set before us. Remember that the purpose of God cannot be thwarted. And there is, therefore, much consolation for us. We can have refuge in him as we lay hold and take fast and strong grip on that hope that is set before us, as we see there in verse 18 of chapter 6. And you can even factor in also verse 17. But we need to know and be greatly encouraged that God will use his power to enable us to attain the hope, as it says, which anchors our life. Remember the SGP. He will strengthen, he will guard, and he will protect us. Furthermore, once we have Christ as our hope, we can be assured of this hope as an anchor of life. And it would anchor us, knowing it is sure and it is steadfast, as we see there in verse 19 of the same Hebrews chapter 6. Sure, steadfast, firm, secure. And we can rest knowing that. We can take our stake, I should say better, our claim, and confidently so in him. For he is faithful. That's interesting in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Moreover, when our being aware that Christ is in us, and that is the hope, glory, the hope of glory. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. We have the hope which will keep us on course. The appearing of Jesus Christ, which we celebrated last time. The putting away of Satan, the day of atonement. This resurrection, also the eternal life, but what? With a country to abide in, that is his kingdom. Such should give us much greater hope. Remember, it's impossible not only for God to lie, it's impossible for us. But you know what? All things are made possible by the one in whom we put our hope in, as Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And not only that, you know, there's nothing too hard, remember, for God, as Genesis chapter 18, verse 24, Sir Hampton had been going through. All of these factors. What do we hope in? We should hope in something beyond this life. It should extend beyond the human existence as well in this of this physical state. It should go into the future. And we need to give up the present for the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. This should spur us on to do so. For now, you say that we are seeing in a mirror, but darkly, but knowing just in part this very present world. However, The future is certain. And it has much more benefits for us. Paul also records back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and verse 17. What does he say? That this physical is nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory. Because this is paling, the physical, the significant glamour, to nothing. For the things which are seen, as you remember, it's temporal, will go. But what we are not able to see, but we know it is there, is eternal. It's eternal. Are we going to have that hope in God? And this shows that we should give up the present for that future that God has for us. And we must be doing so as we possess a vision of hope beyond the expectation of the present. We have to possess then faith, confidently placing our life into God's care, knowing that He cares for us. And we therefore, as fellow begotten children, fellow workers, and heirs of God's family, note those terms, should be given to godly faith in our lives. Are we a people of hope? I don't know why to go through the historians and the poets, but many of them of yesteryear painted a picture of the world tomorrow, that pristine state, different to this present evil world, governed by Satan. We may conclude, as millions already have, to hope for a restored and earthly pristine state, and it's very reasonable, especially when we examine God's word on the subject. God's purpose that human beings would live the earth and millennial pristine conditions. When God was creating the earth and creating mankind, in his view, everything was what? It's either good or very good. No barrier at the beginning was there between God and man. As Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and God saw everything what he had made, and behold, it was very good. The majestic salvation which the Creator is planning for the rest of eternity, however, will pale in significance. The suffering that we are experiencing today, I know it will be no more. As I quoted already in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, all tears will be wiped from man's eyes. And there's no more death, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, because he's going to make all things new. And peace will be felt. Are we a people of hope? Are we vanquishing despair? Are we looking forward to God's kingdom? So are we losing hope? Is our spiritual pilot light going out or flickering? Or is it constantly glowing in radiance? Christ, however, tells us that we ought to always to pray and not to lose heart. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Let us hope and keep it alive. No one is hopeless whose hope is in God and Jesus Christ. Let us acknowledge that truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, as Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 indicated. And let us never give up. For God, yes, had a plan from creation. That purpose, which I said would never be thwarted. The Logos and God planned to give eternal life to all. They created us in their image. You ever watch a runner in a race? Whether it's 100 meters or whether it's 400 meters. They have that goal before them. And though he or she has the last breath, ounce of breath in them, he or she still pushes on as though, you know, they have just begun the race. Though the breath may look fading, they are not giving up. We too must not be giving up. And we too need to drive on in hope to the kingdom of God. Do not be like Linda or Jerry. No way. I wanted to go through a preview of what will happen tomorrow, but I left that for the feast. You would hear more about that. Linda gave up her physical life, and we will be giving up, as I said, our eternal life. Her pilot light went out. Don't let our spiritual, righteous pilot light extinguish. Be like Malcolm, who found hope in the hopeless situation as he went on to serve those who were afflicted. How many of us would have given up? Are we still filled with hope? Hope vanquishes despair. Hope motivates us to the way of salvation as we draw on God's Spirit. And so, like in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and verse 26, that provides us with a lot of hope. I know prior to that, it says that his compassions never fail, even his mercies never fail. Great is his faithfulness. But in verse 25 and 26, these are comforting words too. To the inhabitants then, and they can serve us well today as we head kingdom bound. Our future's glittering. Salvation will be given to us, and we will assist Jesus Christ in bringing about the true times of refreshing and restoration, as it says back in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Not to omit bringing many sons to glory, as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, with the captain of our salvation giving us yeoman assistance in doing so. The weeping prophet viewed the situation then as it had appeared, hopeless. As Jerusalem's streets were littered with the bodies of slain victims, and there were few survivors who heeded the prophet's call to repent. But we really in a repentant attitude. And we know from history that the conditions improved as the exile came to an end. Though the conditions now look hopeless, there is real hope ahead. For the God of hope, all hope, I should say, will see to it that the glorious times become a reality for us all. May we take heed to God's word and his true promises and plan as we act out his holy days. And be encouraged never to lose hope in the eternal. Don't lose hope. There are three temperatures of our heart. And I should have gone into them, but I'm not. I'm just going to refer to them. When it becomes cold, like Matthew chapter 24. When also it becomes this lukewarm process. As we know, back with the Laodiceans, and where you vomit them out. But I like the last one in Luke chapter 24, when the disciples say their heart burned, and especially when they heard the word of God. Beloved, I hope that you have a very refreshing, profitable, fruitful feast, and also an enjoyable. And I will send some very thin wafers for you that they're going to be coming, as I would say, in the air wafers and some air burgers on the Day of Atonement. But anyhow, you keep strong, because that enemy is going to be put away. Keep hope. Keep hope alive.